In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There's many people who, when you look at what they become in life, you would never have guessed it when you see them in their youth. But St. Athanasius the Great, whose memory we celebrate today, was not one of those folks. He was born around the year 296 in Egypt to a pious Christian home. And in his very early youth, he would have lived through the last great persecution of the church under the pagans. But one day, he was playing with some children, and they decided they were going to play church, and they had some pagan friends, and they elected Athanasius as the bishop, and they made a procession down to the river and baptized the pagan boys, and the Bishop Alexander happened to be observing this from a distance, and he was wondering, what are these boys doing? And when he was told what they were doing later, he wanted to talk to these children. And he asked St. Athanasius about baptism, and the explanation that he gave about the meaning of baptism was far above what most trained theologians at that time would have been able to give. And so St. Alexander, the bishop, declared the baptisms to be valid, had these boys chrismated, and they were made Christians. But he told St. Athanasius' parents that when he came of age that he wanted to put him to use in the church. And as a matter of fact, when he was older, he was made a deacon. He became Bishop Alexander's secretary and his protodeacon. And he was at the Council of Nicaea. There was a heresy that had arisen that was being preached by a priest in Alexandria by the name of Arius. And Arius taught that there was a time when the Son was not, that Christ was not of the same substance as God, the same essence as God, but that he was a creature. For this he was condemned by a synod in Alexandria and deposed and excommunicated. But this controversy grew because Arius was a very charismatic man. He was probably a good preacher, and Arians began writing a lot of hymns to teach people about their heresy. And some scholars say that some of the hymnography that we have today was modeled on this, because the Orthodox people started writing hymns to counter the errors of the Arians. But at the Council of Nicaea, St. Athanasius, even though he was only a protodeacon, he played a very key role in condemning this heresy. And the heresy was in fact condemned at this council, although it didn't end there. Not long after the council, St. Alexander, the Bishop of Alexandria, passed away, and St. Athanasius was made bishop in his place. The people were demanding, give us Athanasius. And so the other bishops of the region agreed and went ahead and made him bishop. And he suffered many things throughout the rest of his life. He would have liked to have become a monastic. As a matter of fact, one of the great writings of St. Athanasius the Great is the life of St. Anthony the Great, who was a friend of his and a spiritual father. And that life of St. Anthony inspired generation after generation of people to pursue monasticism, so it's a very important writing in and of itself. But he would have liked to have followed St. Anthony and lived a life of asceticism in the desert. But God had other plans for him. I could go into great detail about all the persecutions and things that he suffered, but it would take a lot longer than you would probably want to endure this morning. But there were many slanders against him, rumors. They accused him of sexual immorality, even of murder, and of in practicing the occult. As a matter of fact, there was a clergyman whom he had deposed, and this person had disappeared. No one knew where he was, and so he was accused of having murdered this clergyman and then mummified his right hand and used that for occultic purposes. And so at one of these councils at which he was tried, he asked his accusers, do you know this man? Arsenius, I believe, was his name. Do you know him? Oh, yes, we know who he was. And it just so happened that this man, even though he had been deposed by St. Athanasius, when he heard that this accusation was being made, made himself known to St. Athanasius, bowed to him, asked for his forgiveness. And so St. Athanasius had him off in another room while these accusations were being made, and then he brought out the man. He said, "Can we see your right hand? Can we see your left hand? As you can see, they're both well attached, and he's not dead." And these people left that council ashamed. But he was exiled on five occasions, and there were many occasions in which he narrowly escaped death. And he was a very bold man. He was short. He was sometimes referred to by his enemies as a dwarf. He had a red hair beard, but he was very courageous. And at one point, when he was being accused, he wanted to meet with the Emperor Constantine, and so he knew what path his horse would be going along one morning, and he just waited until he saw him, and then he darted out into the street, grabbed his horse by the reins, and demanded to speak to the emperor right there and then. And he was able to persuade the emperor that he was being slandered, although later on, the emperor, who was not a theologian but was the first Christian emperor, began to believe some of these rumors, and so he exiled St. Athanasius as well. After the repose of Constantine the Great, his two sons divided the empire in half, and his son Constance was in the West, and he was Orthodox, and he supported St. Athanasius, but his son Constantius was an Arian, and he persecuted him. And St. Anthony the Great only left the desert one time after he took up the life of monasticism, and it was during this period of time. He came to Alexandria to support St. Athanasius and to preach against Arianism. After the death of Constance, Constantius had the rule of the entire empire, and so again that resulted in him being exiled. And then after the death of Constantius, Constantine the Great's grandson Julian took the throne. And Julian is known as Julian the Apostate. He was raised as a Christian, but he rejected the Christian faith and wanted to reintroduce paganism. But he knew that Christianity was entrenched enough that he couldn't just start persecuting Christians like previous emperors had done. So he tried to use a number of sly strategies to try to undermine the church. And one of them was he thought, well, let's bring back all these exiled Orthodox bishops back to their sees so they can fight with the other bishops. And the Christians will be so busy fighting each other that it'll be easier to defeat them. And so St. Athanasius was brought back to Alexandria, and even though this person was a man with evil intentions, God used this occasion to give him one more opportunity to be among his flock. And St. Athanasius not only preached against Arianism, but he preached against paganism very vehemently, so much so that Julian then had to exile him yet again. And I should say that every time St. Athanasius was exiled, when he would return, the people of Alexandria greeted him with even greater enthusiasm than they had the last time. His love and affection from his people only increased with time. St. Athanasius reposed finally after having returned from exile for the last time in the year 373. This is after the death of Julian the Apostate and under the Emperor Valens. One thing we can say about St. Athanasius the Great, which I think you could say is generally true of all the saints, particularly those that we hold up as examples of people who have stood against error, and that's that St. Athanasius the Great never wet his finger, stuck it up in the air to see which way the wind was blowing, and then said, "What do I need to do to conform my beliefs and my teachings to be hip with the times?" He never did that. And none of the saints of the church ever did that. St. Athanasius was a pillar of orthodoxy, and he did the exact opposite of trying to go along with the times. He stood against them. As a matter of fact, one of the titles or phrases you often hear in association with Athanasius the Great is Athanasius contra mundum, which means Athanasius against the world. And I'm not sure if this is exactly the origin of this or not. I couldn't verify it. But there's one account that said that at some council where the Arians were accusing him, they said, "The whole world is against you, Athanasius." And he said, "Well, if the whole world is against me, then Athanasius is against the world." And he was not going to bend because he knew what the truth was. And of course, he wasn't the only bishop who was confessing the truth. Sometimes people somewhat hyperbolically will make that claim. There were many parts of the church where the Orthodox were dominant, but in his area, he very often was on the outs with the people who had the power and the power to persecute him, but he never bended. And in our culture, as we see so many things that are going against the teachings of the church, what we don't want to do is to be like the cowards that bent with the winds. We have many people that want us to abandon the moral teachings of the church. They want us to be like everybody else. They want us to be just one among many other religions and try to get along with everybody else and not really stand for the truth. Well, if you're an Orthodox Christian, you can't do that. You have to stand for the truth regardless of what it costs, because we're not living for this life. We're not living to win a popularity contest. We're living to serve our Lord, God, and Savior Jesus Christ and to be saved and to be with him for all eternity. And that's only going to happen if we remain faithful to him. If we deny him, he will deny us. But if we confess him, then he will recognize us on that day. Amen.